Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Unveiling of our Pensacola sign in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Woo!
5, 4.
What had happened is they were lighting up the sign last night. It was Mayor D.C. Ruse doing the countdown, and Hughes Construction Max Sam was flipping the switch. And the reason it was a little bit muted, there's only about 30 people there, and that's because it was in between two major roads, and it's not really a good place to park and have people and safety and all that. They just wanted to do a small, you know, a few friends of the architects and the artists and a couple of news people, and that's it. Anyway, but what had happened is that the vertical pieces of the neon stripes that go vertically came on, but the rest of the sign did not turn on, and all of us who had expected the whole thing to turn on were like, but that's not it, right? And always when a sign doesn't quite work just the way it should the first, you're like, oh, I hope it's not it. Anyway, and then the second part was when the rest of it came on. We're like, oh, phew, thank God. It's fantastic. No, it really is. It's beautiful. Love it. Absolutely love it. And DC kind of joked about that in his comments beforehand about where we were located.
Welcome to Trespassing in the Median. Thank you for everybody for being here.
All of these signs are like that, though, right? The Sailfish sign is in a kind of a no man's land in the Highway 98 going east onto Bob Sykes Bridge, where it's kind of 399 right there, where it's kind of like, if you really wanted to get up close to the sign, you got to kind of cross traffic and, you know, stand in a weird place. So they're both in these kind of odd little triangular-shaped patches of land. Love the sign. If you haven't had a chance to see it this morning, it's, I don't know, if you drive past it, like now that it's light out, I'd be curious to know if it's off right now. I assume it is. I assume it's like the Sailfish sign. It only lights up at night, but I'm curious. And it is gorgeous. We got pictures and video all over our Facebook page, and you can see it for yourself. You've probably seen it. I mean, you know, Pensacola Vibes was there, Channel 3, Studio 850. Everybody was there last night watching this stuff happen. I did have a chance right afterwards to talk to Brianna Spence, who is the artist. First of all, can I say that? I probably butchered her name like 15 different times. I know a Brianne. My son's name is Spencer, and Brian Spencer was a former city council member. So in my brain are all of these similar-sounding kinds of names. So I've been really struggling to make sure to keep her name just right. But she is a delightful sweetheart of a lady.
Earth Brianna Spence, who is the artist who designed this gorgeous, I love this sign. Tell me about the sign.
Well, thank you so much. So I actually won a contest for the sign for the city of Pensacola back in 2023. So I actually submitted my design on April 11th. So it's been almost exactly 2 years. And I worked with Dalrymple Salis and then Hughes Construction and obviously the city. And so submitted the design. And really what you're seeing is pretty much identical to what we initially designed. We changed a few of the, what do you call those mottos at the bottom? So
okay,
where
slogan.
Florida slogan. Thank you. Where Florida begins. Was
I really love
be,
that, by the way.
I do too. That was
where
DC's
Florida
idea.
Begins. That's great.
He suggested
low key new slogan for the city, right?
I know. I don't know. That's up to them. That's not my department. But yeah. So he suggested that, and I really think it turned out great. So the pelican name is Harbor the Pelican.
Harbor the Pelican.
Harbor, yes. And so Harbor just came to life because when you walk around, you always see the pelicans, and you know, we see a lot of like dolphins around this area and things, but even when you go to local places, like if you go to Sam's Club or anything, you
right.
see the big pelicans,
right?
And so that's kind of, it seems very Pensacola and very unique to us, so that's where the idea for the pelican, and he's just welcoming everyone home. He's so happy to have you back. So
and you Scott Salas was saying that you designed the fonts, like this is original artwork in the letters.
So all of the letters, I think except for maybe one font on there, all of the letters were hand drawn and then vectorized, which is basically outlining them to
okay.
be used for like large scale like this. So
okay.
yeah, not all the fonts, but a majority of them were hand drawn. So
you didn't just create the pelican, you didn't just create the lights, the arrangement, but you created the letters themselves. It might seem like a little thing, but I think it's really cool.
I'm really happy with how it turned out, and it looks, you know, way better than my first sketches. So we're really happy that it all came together. But
there are design elements people may not notice when they're driving by. I think the one that's the the least obvious, but it's pretty, once you see it, is the dock underneath the Pelican.
Yes, so that wasn't in my original submission, but the architects came up with that actually as a way, honestly, for structural support.
Okay.
But we loved it so much, we said absolutely, that fits perfectly. It ties in all of the themes that we were going for. So even though it wasn't original,
it's great.
We're obsessed with it.
No,
I think
fabulous.
It turned on, even the colors, everything, it just fits right in. So.
Most of your pelicans you see are perched on something.
Yep, exactly.
Right?
And
so.
That's where the idea came from. So they really took that idea and ran with it, and I think it just added to it so much.
Is there any...
And definitely. We'll finish this up in just a second because there's a couple of other things I want you to hear. But yeah, you may not notice the dock pier kind of portion of it because it's brown. It blends in with the ground fairly strongly. And you wouldn't even see it at night, I think. But during the day, you see a little bit more. Oh, somebody texted in. Thank you so much. They turned it off at 6:45. So yes, off. So if you haven't seen it at night, you still haven't seen it at night. But you know, maybe tonight. Anyway, back to this in just a second. We got PJ's in for John Pickens. You could not, the name thing is starting to get to me. Like JP is his initials and your initials are PJ. Yeah. Y'all are killing me. Anyway, go ahead, PJ. Good to have you today.
Thanks. This traffic update is brought to you by NSEC Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with a new annual contract. Call NSEC today. Looking at the big board, there is a hit-and-run crash being reported by Florida Highway Patrol, East Bay Boulevard, and Harvell Circle. They're still working that accident. Use caution in that area. Also taking a quick peek at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, Duncan Road. The congestion actually is building, so we will keep an eye on that for you. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the interview I did last night with the artist who designed and came up with the concept for it and then implemented it along with, of course, Hughes Construction and Dalrymple Salas, the architects. This new welcome sign to the city of Pensacola coming off the Three Mile Bridge.
Is there any symbolism behind either the colors or the arrangement of the pole? It's green, purple, red, and blue. Is there any meaning or is it just pretty? Which is plenty enough.
Honestly, it's just pretty.
Okay.
I said, oh, these colors look nice together.
Yeah.
So we just wanted something that was really fun and eye-catching. And when you come back, you know, into Pensacola, you just feel joyful. It was just a very joyful design. Excited to have people back.
Are you from Pensacola originally?
I'm originally from Kansas City, but I have lived here. I know.
I'm from St. Louis, so it's fine. Midwesterners all come here.
They're great. I know. I meet all the Kansas City people here. But no, I have lived here for almost 9 years, and then my grandma lived here for 30 years.
Okay.
So we were in and out all the time as kids. So Ben, and then all my family lives here, so deep roots.
So you're an artist. You think about things. We have an incredibly famous, iconic Pensacola Beach sign. That's gone through at three different iterations.
Yes.
It is widely loved. It is cherished. It is known internationally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Fish House put up their sign. It's also a very cool sign. It's a little bit more out of the way.
Yep.
But this, to me, is, I mean, this is going to be here in 50 years, and people are going to come to know this as the sign at Pensacola, not the Pensacola Beach sign. How does it feel to be the woman who made that come to life?
It is crazy. I don't know if it's really sunk in yet, which is, I know it's been 2 years, but it really hasn't. I'm just really grateful and I love Pensacola. And so I think just being able to really give something that hopefully people really love back is the best part. And I mean, I think the coolest part is that, like, because it's my artwork, it's now like, it's mine. So I can see it grow and, like, you know, take on new forms and stuff. So,
well, I hope there are shirts. I hope there are bumper stickers. I hope that there are things more coming because I am a huge fan. I was not initially in love with the idea.
That's fair.
But I think maybe more because I heard what it was. I didn't see it or something anyway. Sure. And then when I saw it, I'm like, okay, I'm halfway there.
Good.
And then when I saw it without the lights, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then when the lights all came, honestly, you know how just the pole came on at first, and I'm like, oh, I thought everything else was going to light up.
And then
it all lit up. I'm like, oh, yes.
Honestly, I had a moment of like, oh, no. Did I not know what's going on? Did I not know? No, they did such a good job. It's, I mean, you're going to be able to see it literally across the bridge.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, coming over the hump, I would think it becomes, at least you can see the light of it. So, well, Brianna, thank you so much. And thank you for the contribution to our city. And it was really a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, too. And I hope everyone just loves it. And Harbor becomes just a part of the city. Thank you.
Harbor the Pelican. And, oh, sorry, I turned my own mic off there. That's not usually the way you do it. I don't know why. Anyway, Harbor the Pelican is his name. That is our new welcome sign. But somebody asked, well, where is it, Andrew? You keep talking about this stupid sign. Where is it? Sorry. When you're going on Three Mile Bridge coming out of Gulf Breeze, and then you come on to westbound, I always get these wrong, Chase Street. I always get which one's Gregory and which one's Chase. I always get them back. Maybe I do have it backwards even now. It's Gregory, I guess. Okay. Yeah, because it's the Gregory on ramp. And then right there in front of South Market, it's right in that little triangle. It's exactly where the old Five Flags display used to be. Remember the Five Flags when we used to be the city of Five Flags? We don't really call it that anymore, you know, because we're awkward and shy and embarrassed about that fifth flag. Not that the Spaniards and the French were super pro-human rights, by the way, but I digress. Anyway, so remember when FDOT took that all down in part of the reconstruction and the creation of the roundabout, the landing of the bridge and all that stuff, and then the question was, well, would we get anything back? And some people said we should bring back the original Five Flags. That was never going to happen. I would have been fine with that, but, you know, just for reasons. And then there was going to just be a boring little landscapey thing, and that's when, you know, back under Grover Robinson's administration and then subsequently with, you know, D.C. Reeves, they were like, no, we should have something. And, you know, Dalrymple Salas have been working on this for 4.5 years, so making this come true. But that's where it's at, right, when you come into Pensacola. So one thing that may be worth noting is that I was exactly right. I actually, last night afterwards, I went and drove to Gulf Breeze and came back on the bridge because I was curious if you could see where you, how far you could see it. And I started to doubt myself, like, would you be able to see it from the hump? That's a long way away. Exactly true. You can, you can't really see it in Gulf Breeze. And when you get on the south side of the bridge, you can't really see it there because lights and or the bridge itself get in your way. But as soon as you come up the top of the crest of the hump, you can see it if you're looking. I mean, it's not bright. It's a distance, like 2 miles away. It's, you know, but it's a little blue sliver in the distance. And if you know what you're looking for, you can definitely see it. And then it just gets bigger and bigger as you get closer. And then you drive past and you're like, oh, that's great. I say this, and I wouldn't have even noticed except one of the people mentioned it to me. But I don't know this morning. I don't know what the current status is. I'm guessing still is the case. There are 5 vertical lights and bars, strips, whatever you're going to call them, and only 4 came on. So there is one they're still going to have to work to get on. It's the red one on the far left. And, you know, I just, there's more coming. But if you drive past it this morning and you look, or maybe tonight when you look, and you're like, you can see whether that fifth one is on. It's gorgeous. By the way, we really have, I don't know, maybe I nerd out a little bit too much on some things, but I think that the way a community presents itself is often a matter of the little details that collectively create an impression. I mean, how many of you have been to New Orleans lately, like in the last decade? What's the main thing you see when you enter New Orleans? Tents. It's homeless camp. I mean, like that's, and that's a terrible way to present yourself as a city. Well, in Pensacola, and I'm not saying we don't have homeless and panhandlers. I'm just, you know, the way you first appear has a good sort of tone-setting effect on people. I love that ECUA was willing to reverse course and do appropriate Blue Angels and Pensacola art on the I-110 water tower sign. I mean, like, I'm really grateful to them that they were like, oh, yeah, we made a mistake. We should do this. Yeah, you're right. I mean, all water towers should have art on them. Nobody cares about your water utility name. That's not entertaining to anybody. But we have that one, and that's great. And we had the Rex light up a few years ago on Palafox. That's gorgeous. The Fish House sign, of course, the reconstruction of the Sailfish sign, and now the Pensacola Pelican sign. And just, I love these things. These things really have a big effect on declaring, is your place cool or is your place boring and bland? And we are really working hard to try to make Pensacola a cool place. Even the bridge itself, the lights on the bridge, you know, the giant neon lights on the other side, is, you know, that's cool stuff. 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
This is everything, ain't it? This is the choice it comes down to. This is our immortality.
You don't need to be thinking immortality. You need to be thinking hit the seven iron.
Kind of a neat note. Somebody said, I had forgotten about this, that there's that big new digital signboard at the west gate of NES Pensacola. And I can't remember whether that's on yet or not, or has been built yet or not. I apologize. But no, good note. That's another, it's not quite the same, but yeah, good note. Somebody else says, oh, there's five vertical strips of light that the Pelican is attached to on the welcome sign off Three Mile Bridge that just got turned on last night. Is that an homage to the five flags? And I thought, I don't know. I don't think the colors exactly match up, but I went to look out of curiosity, and yeah, no. but the fact that there's five could be, but since the colors are let's see, orange, green, red, teal, and blue, yeah, no, it doesn't quite match up with the five. But you know, the fact that it's five might be an homage, and you know, I'll take it. It's fine. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. There's just a little bit of congestion at the front gate of NES Pensacola on Duncan Road. Congestion's not too bad. It's slightly improving. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
FBI Director Kash Patel is no longer the acting director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. He's now been replaced by Army Secretary Dan Driscoll. The Trump administration didn't give a reason for the replacement, but the Justice Department said yesterday that it wasn't a reflection of Cattell's performance. President Trump's pick for NASA administrator is vowing to prioritize a mission to the moon. In a confirmation hearing yesterday, Jared Isaacman committed to maintaining the space agency's Artemis mission through its upcoming 2026 voyage. This appears to conflict with comments made by SpaceX CEO Elon Musk, who's prioritized expeditions to Mars over lunar missions. Isaacman, though, didn't rule out a Mars mission, but said he wouldn't be influenced by Musk on NASA policy. And Microsoft is testing a new feature on its Copilot app. Apparently, it'll let you share screens with an AI assistant, and then it can help you as you use programs like Adobe Photoshop or something like that. It can tell you how to do things that you don't know how to do.
You're telling me that I now have an AI mentor for my technology use?
Apparently.
Oh, my God. There is a part of me that thinks, oh, that's great. And there's another part of me that thinks, human, just sit back in the recliner and,
well, and I wonder,
enjoy the takeover.
I wonder how long it's going to take before we start seeing long-term memory issues, because you don't have to remember things.
Well, I mean, just think about all the aspects of that, right? Like, you don't have to remember where things are because you have your Waze app or your Google Maps.
Right.
You get your directions. You know, you get your semi-sultry British voice tells you when to turn in 500 feet or whatever. You don't have to memorize anything anymore. If you don't know how to do a thing, you just look it up on YouTube, which is great, but then you don't have to memorize anything. You know, I'm totally, and who knows anybody's phone number anymore? We all know the phone number we had. Like, you all probably know the phone number of your mom's house when you were growing up.
Right.
And none of the phone numbers since then.
Yeah, you know your childhood number and 867-5309.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly right, because you don't have to memorize anything. David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody sent me a picture of the NAS Pensacola Westgate signboard that is up and functioning. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Love to see that. It's beautiful. Wonderful. One of the things, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, is you want to make a good decision. How do you make a good decision? Well, get good input. I mean, right? Like, you know, typically what you do is, you know, you talk to your spouse, you know, when you think about it. What can we afford? Do we want to buy a house? Do we want to expand to a rental? Do we want to buy a beach house? Where are we at? Upsize, downsize, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Normal. And then you make a decision. And then you call a realtor. Help us implement this decision. Okay. Let me suggest a different path. Call Christina Leavenworth before you make a decision, when you're in the process of making a decision, in order to get perspective and information and, you know, say, hey, here's what we're thinking about. Andrew says you like to talk to people. So here's our question. Do you think it's a good time to invest in a long-term rental right now? Do you think it's the right time to buy a beach house right now? And she'll tell you what she thinks because she loves meeting people and giving them input on real estate stuff. So before you make a choice, consult the expert. 723-9158. For Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty. We'll talk with Mike Wood of the Pensacola Police Department coming up next.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Stock futures are lower after yesterday's big bounce back when President Trump announced a 90-day pause on new tariffs that had just gone into effect. White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett says there was concern over a U.S. government bond sell-off.
I think right. The president decided on his own, really, that, well, we're going to announce this anyway. We might as well do it today. There's a little bit of an extra push for the bond market. But this is the plan that he was pursuing all along.
He's on Fox and Friends. A judge in Idaho has heard arguments about what evidence to allow in a quadruple murder case.
Brian Koberger's defense team asking a judge to ban some witness testimony, 911 audio and other evidence, even terms like psychopath, sociopath, and murderer, and DNA from key evidence that prosecutors say linked their client to the killings of four University of Idaho students in Moscow.
Fox's Jeff Manasa. The trial is set to start in August. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got sunshine. It's another beautiful day here. We've got 55 degrees in Pensacola. Well, controversial UWF Board of Trustees Chairman Dr. Scott Yenner has officially resigned. He sent a resignation letter yesterday to UWF President Dr. Martha Saunders, citing opposition from within the state Senate.
I don't understand why he waited so long, knowing that the entire area, the community, was against them, did not support them.
Jean Godwin, she runs Saved UWF, which was organized following Yenner's appointment to the Board of Trustees. She said the school was doing well when Yenner and three other board appointments were made by Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, those three appointees, Paul Bailey, Chris Young, and Gates Garcia, have their first round of confirmation hearings in front of the Senate Appropriations Committee on Higher Education today. There is a new sign welcoming visitors as they come across the Three-mile bridge into Pensacola. The city lit up that sign for the first time last night as you come across the bridge. It's located between Gregory and Bayfront Parkway. The sign was designed by a local artist as part of a contest run by the city last year. There's video of the lighting ceremony last night on the News Radio Facebook page. Well, fire season is here. State officials say you should monitor your outdoor burning.
Despite the recent rain, there's still more than 50 wildfires burning across the state. Florida's peak wildfire season occurs April through June. Now, since January, over 1,000 wildfires have burned over 51,000 acres. Now, as of Wednesday, there were 51 wildfires burning in Florida, affecting 1,300 acres. The driest conditions will continue across South and Southwest Florida. Chris Bryant, News Radio, 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. A donation was made to a foundation that Florida's First Lady started, and some lawmakers say it might be illegal. That's according to a couple of Republican lawmakers yesterday during a committee hearing. They were discussing a $10 million donation from Medicaid contractor Centene to the Hope Florida Foundation. The Times-Herald describes Hope Florida as First Lady Casey DeSantis's top political initiative. The donation was part of the Agency for Healthcare Administration's settlement with the state for overbilling it for the AHCA's services. Pensacola Representative Alex Andrade says the donation is illegal because the money should have been put into a trust fund or a general fund that lawmakers control. Earlier this week, the ribbon was cut on what will be the new Pensacola State College aviation training facility at the airport. A portion of the funding to make that happen came from Triumph Gulf Coast and BP oil spill money.
You know, and it's really important because we've got, you know, two large employers here that have moved here because of, you know, the infrastructure grants that have helped supported, you know, them to be able to come and move here and operate. One being ST Aerospace at the Pensacola Airport, and the other is Leonardo Helicopters over in Santa Rosa County at the Whiting Field.
And that's former Triumph Board Chairman David Baer. He says projects that bring aviation jobs to our area are very important to the local economy. Baer says Triumph's goal was firstly to help the economy recover, and secondly to help diversify it so hits to tourism don't have such a large effect on the area. 735 at News Radio, and PJ's got our traffic.
This traffic update is brought to you by ECUA. ECUA's bulk waste service is now called for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Taking a look at the big board here, there is a vehicle crash at Bainbridge Avenue just off of Gulf Beach Highway. They're saying there's no roadblock currently in that area. Also, we've been following the front gate of NAS Pensacola. Looks like that traffic situation has improved greatly. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Clear and cool to start your Thursday with temperatures in the 50s first thing this morning. But as we head into the afternoon, clear sunny skies will allow temperatures to climb into those middle 70s with dry conditions on tap once again, making way for a nice spring-like day. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR first warning weather update.
Thank you very much, Marion, and definitely seeing a bit of a warm-up now. We've got 60 degrees in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze, 51 reported in Milton. Your next news at 8. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. CNBC reports Kevin Hassett, director of the National Economic Council, said the volatility in the bond market was not a direct reason for the Trump tariff pause, but likely added a little more urgency to the decision. The 10-year Treasury yield rose above 4.5%, and the 30-year rate spiked above 5% overnight ahead of the pause, with bond prices tumbling. President Trump has raised tariffs on China to 125%, hours after China boosted taxes on American imports to 84% and vowed to fight to the end. Amazon has postponed the launch of its first Kuiper Internet satellite due to stubborn clouds and heavy winds. Launch partner United Launch Alliance will provide a new liftoff time at a later point. Amazon is racing to compete with SpaceX's Starlink, which has roughly 8,000 satellites in orbit. Futures are sharply lower after President Trump paused reciprocal tariffs for 90 days yesterday. The Dow Industrials gained 29.62. That's Your Money Now.
Stanley spent his life in the saddle, wrangling whatever life threw at him. But nothing prepared him for the fight against low T and ED. Shame practically hunched him over. Ambond pills just gave him a headache. He begged for a lifeline.
Well, maybe it's over.
Wave Men's Health said no. Medical conditions, old age, there's hope. This is about real treatments. Science, not one-size-fits-all guesswork. Wave Men's Health was designed for men who hate going to the doctor. Personalized plans, cutting-edge treatments, overseen by an actual provider that takes the time to listen. With low T and ED treatments others only dream about, we fight like hell to get you back in the saddle. Because every second you wait, your condition could worsen. Act now. Don't let time slip away. Dial 850-266-7020 or go to wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is only $99, including blood work. And you'll know your T level before you leave. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Custom design put into this certainly will now live as one of those legendary symbols of our city for generations to come.
So last night, as you've heard me say all morning, I was at the unveiling, lighting up of the new Pelican welcome sign at the north end of the Three Mile Bridge, right there in front of South Market in that little triangular space where we used to have the Five Flags display. One of the things that I noticed, it happened three different times. As somebody was coming off of the bridge, making that west turn and going down onto Gregory Street, they, they flared the engine, flared the mufflers, revved the engine, whatever you want to say it, real loud, right? And I looked and we saw what car it was and we're like, well, that figures. every single time. But it made me think, I think one was a motorcycle, two were trucks. And actually one was, what do they call that in the where the back end is down? The Carolina Squat? Somebody had Carolina Squatted an Escalade. And the look on your face was the look on my face. Anyway, but the question I had was, I don't know whether that's illegal or not. I think it probably is. We have a sign, or we have a noise ordinance in Pensacola. So I figured I'd ask my good friend, Mike Wood, is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He's on the line. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you helped me. You heard it. If you were patrolling and somebody flared their muffler, whatever, I don't even want you probably have a good term because you're a racing enthusiast, you would know the term. If somebody revs their engine real loud, it makes the muffler crackle. Legal, illegal, what's the rule?
Well, most of the time when people do that, they've altered the muffler, which is illegal. So you're not going to have a brand new Buick straight from the factory coming out and somebody revving that engine and it's going to bother anybody.
Okay.
That, somebody has altered that muffler, which in itself is illegal. So people do those type of things to get attention. The problem is when it gets the attention of the police, they're suddenly very sorry that they did it, that they wanted that attention because they didn't want it from us, but they wanted it from somebody else. So absolutely, to answer your question, if somebody does that, they can be stopped and cited for it.
Okay, which is interesting. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure, so I appreciate that. And also for people who may not know, and you always correct me if I'm wrong, I know you would, honking your horn for not a safety-related alerting another driver, stopping an accident kind of reason is also illegal use, right?
Yes, it is. You have to be warning somebody of a potential hazardous situation.
All right. So I just, again, things people may not realize, but we're always trying to educate the public on what the law is because, you're the cops. You enforce it. You've had a couple of incidents. I want to talk briefly about this. The Humane Society showed that video that we've all seen of the porch pirates coming in and taking some donations. Have we made any progress on this? What do we know?
Still working on it, trying to identify these two young ladies. I don't know why somebody would go to the Humane Society to remove a donation unless somebody put it there and someone else came home and said, wait a minute, that stuff belonged to me. I want it back. I'm going to go get it. I don't know. We're still looking into that. The video's pretty good. And we're hoping that sooner or later we find out who those two ladies are and find out what exactly was going on with that.
I do know there's been a lot of changes in the law, and we all get frustrated about the porch pirates. I just want to—I heard a rumor. I want to make sure it's not true. You cannot yet legally deport people from the country for being porch pirates, though, right? I mean, I wish we could, but that's still not yet legal, right?
Not yet. It may be on the list, but okay. but not
all
yet.
Because right. I think we all recognize the value that would have. God. Oh. People that, like, sometimes it's the small infractions that really are, in the grand scheme of things, small, but they just, they're so contrary to having a civilization that there's, you know, you wish you could do more. You had a video, you came out yesterday at the press conference with Mayor D.C. Reeves talking about this, of I think it's a couple of teenagers who were battering a homeless man, is that right?
Well, there was a group there. It happened at the 17th Avenue Trestle Friday night around midnight. But there were two males that were aggressive towards this homeless person. He was raising his voice, but he did not use his hands or threaten or anything like that on the video. No show of weapons. But it was clearly a bullying on this transient. So eventually, one of them threw a liquid in the individual's face, and then the other one, with a closed fist, hit him in the face and knocked him unconscious immediately. He then fell down right at the railroad tracks, and that's where the video ends. They left him there. So we don't know if he was moved from the tracks. Obviously, if a train had come through, it would have been catastrophic. To see this video is shocking, and it's very disappointing. So I announced this morning that we have made two arrests of juveniles in that case on battery charges.
Okay. Wow. And obviously, had a train come, it would have been much worse charges and, of course, a much worse outcome for that. He was on the tracks?
The incident happened right at the tracks, and then when he was knocked unconscious, his body fell right at the tracks. His head was just a few inches from one of the rails.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank goodness he's... that didn't happen. So, wow, that's just horrible. I mentioned this only because it had come up in a news story earlier, and it's another one of those I want to make sure that people understand. Actually, give me just a second, Mike. Let me get a quick traffic report from PJ first. PJ?
This traffic update is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Taking a look at the big board, there is a hit-and-run crash at South Blue Angel Parkway and Dog Track Road. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. There had been a conversation in the news about stand your ground laws and self-defense and castle doctrine, not based on something that's happening maybe in Texas. But I was doing a little bit of reading on this and research, and it reminded me of an element of the stand your ground law that people should probably know, which is you are allowed to defend yourself against an imminent threat to your life or them. You are not obligated to retreat. That's what stand your ground says in Florida. But if you start the encounter, like if you initiate the fracas, you don't have stand your ground justification anymore. You don't have self-defense justification more, right?
No, you started it. So if you start an argument with someone and then they produce a weapon and then you produce a weapon, that's something else. But if you come out with a weapon right off the bat or start this, then that changes everything. Stand your ground is made to protect you so you can protect yourself, protect your family and those around you. But starting it yourself, instigating the incident could change things.
Yeah, I mean, the old rule, as I've always heard it explained, is you can never use lethal force against words only. But, you go to punch a guy and he draws a knife and then you draw your gun. I mean, that's on you. You punch the guy, right? So people don't realize. And don't go punching people is also a good rule, but also understand what the law says. We continue to have red light runners, loads and loads and loads of red light runners. One of the questions I had was, do we know how many people are getting these red light tickets who are locals and how many people are from, say, out of the area, or visitors, whatever, tourists?
I don't think we're tracking it like that, but I believe that's something that could be easily done. That's a great question, because if you have most of these people from without out-of-state tags that are not from here, I don't know how much these numbers are going to go down. But if they're mostly local, then I can see those numbers going down over time dramatically. I mean, everybody around here knows you don't speed through Gulf Breeze, Florida, because it's been that way for years. So that's a great question. That's something I'll have to look into.
I would suspect that it's kind of like the Gulf Breeze effect is where I think this is headed, which, visitors don't necessarily know, and so they get in trouble, but it definitely affects how locals drive. And, you know, we put a lot of local road miles on these intersections. And so even if it doesn't solve for all, it solved for some. At least we would hope so. That's kind of the goal there. There's one other thing I was going to add. Oh, this is the easiest question I'm going to ask you, Mike. You ready?
I don't think it's going to be since you put it like that.
It's always... What do you think of the new Pelican sign? You are very involved in the construction of the, I mean, you were always on patrol kind of, you know, or extra duty for the bridge and the lights and all of that. What do you think of the new Pelican sign?
I think it looks fantastic. I think it's great. It's great for the city. It's a great, I mean, as soon as you come into Pensacola looking at that sign, it's very nice. And I saw a comment on Facebook this morning that said, well, the city is very good at lighting up that sign, but they won't do anything about the bridge lights. And I want to make it perfectly clear that Pelican sign lights are controlled by the city. The lights on the bridge are not. That's the state of Florida, the Department of Transportation, the city of Pensacola has no control over that particular light switch.
Well, we could have had control over that bridge if we had been in the interest of putting out $400 million to build it.
But we're not in the bridge building.
So we're not in that business. But that's a great point. Yeah, the complaints about the bridge lights go to FDOT, not to the city of Pensacola. I very much appreciate that. See, that was an easy question. Good answer, by the way. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yes, we've talked about this before, but it's still happening. It probably always will. And that's using the law enforcement officers to discipline your children. No law enforcement officer likes to hear this. You know, he's going to get you. You better behave or the officer will arrest you. If you don't stop, I'll tell the officer to put you in handcuffs. Things like that make us cringe. We want your child to not be afraid of us. If they get lost at a Mardi Gras parade, a Christmas parade, or just someplace else in town, we want them to feel comfortable coming up to us and asking for help. Now, there's one that you can do that we don't mind you saying at all, and that is car seats. If you don't sit in that car seat and let me buckle you up, then mommy or daddy can get a ticket. That is absolutely true, and that one we don't mind. But the rest of them, don't teach your kids to grow up being afraid of us.
No, very good. And, of course, when it comes to car seats, it's very easy to do that wrong if you don't know how to do it. Once you learn how to do it right, it's very easy to do, but most people do it wrong and don't even realize they're doing it wrong. Oh, I actually had texts come in. I want to ask you real quick before we let you go. One text came in because it was actually a video I posted on Facebook. I ran into a car over in Fort Walton Beach. It was decked out like a Captain America logos and paint all over it, and it had red and blue lights around the car. Now, it was parked at a gas station with those lights on. My understanding, I didn't think of it at the time, it's not a law enforcement car, it's just some private individual. It's not only illegal to have the lights on while you're driving, it's illegal to have the lights, isn't it?
Yes, you can't have red lights in Florida except to the rear of the vehicle. You can't have blue lights anywhere on the vehicle.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I realized that after the fact. So, I mean, it's not your business, it's Fort Walton Beach, but still unfortunate because it's a gorgeous car.
Yeah.
Somebody else says, wanted to say, my Hellcat comes stock with an exhaust I can flare. but the other question, Carolina Squad is illegal in some places. Is it legal or illegal to have the car with the lowered back, risen front? Because it actually is a safety hazard. You can't see the road properly. I mean, there's all kinds of issues there, but is it legal to have that in Florida?
It depends on how high the front bumper is off of the roadway.
Okay.
So yes and no. If you don't exceed that height, and I don't know exactly what it is, but yes, if you exceed that height, then it's obvious safety issue if you were to rear end somebody. Plus, you can't see going forward, which is very helpful to be able to see.
Right.
So it depends on how high that front bumper is off of the ground.
Oh, okay. No, that makes perfect sense. It's kind of like window tint. It's not that you can't have window tint. It's that you can't have it past a certain amount, right? That's so, you know, which is the same kind of thing. It's not that you can't have the car at a weird angle that looks stupid, but you just can't have it at a weird angle that looks stupid beyond a certain amount. So, no, that's a very useful answer. Mike Wood, the Pensacola Police Department Public Information Officer, as always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thanks for indulging my silly questions and the good questions from the audience, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
You bet. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Cruise into the ultimate luxury experience at Marine Max Pensacola's Waves and Wonders Luxury Sales Event. your gateway to the best in boating, luxury, and lifestyle. Not only will you find breathtaking yachts and boats, but you'll also discover top-tier local vendors showcasing their finest offerings, including Hayes Gray Cigars, Chef Ed from Southern Grit Culinary, SeaDeck, and the Thirsty Ranch Mobile Bar. It all happens Saturday, April 12th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Marine Max Pensacola, 1901 Cypress Street.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Hi, I'm Meg, inviting you to tune in Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest. They will be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as an offer of 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I love all the questions that people follow up with. For example, somebody asks, what about flashing your lights at somebody to warn them that there's a cop ahead doing speed enforcement? Legal. I asked Mike Wood. He said that is legal. There's no prohibition against creative use of your headlights, apparently. Which also kind of makes sense because you need to be able to use that to tell the driver in the left lane that they're going too slow and they need to move over. I mean, of course, they won't. Because, you know, people don't learn that lesson, but anyway, 756 on. Oh, and somebody else had said, "What about the person who's waiting to go at the traffic light, and they are, you know, you're gently chirping them into getting off their phone?" My understanding is that is actually illegal, because even though they are impeding, they're not on the verge of causing a problem, and definitely the punishment honk is illegal. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it because people need to be taught that they were dumb, but it's strictly. I think that's illegal. All right, PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. There is a hit-and-run crash at South Blue Angel Parkway and Dog Track Road. They're saying the roadway is clear in that area. Scrolling over to Davis Highway, North Davis Highway, and Scenic Highway, there's a vehicle crash and injuries. Roadblock, and they say use caution in that area as well. Scrolling over to Navarre Parkway, and Elevate Avenue. There's a vehicle crash, and they're saying the roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A Russian-American ballerina who was detained in Russia has been released in a prisoner swap with the U.S. Ksenia Karolina was arrested early last year for treason after Russian authorities said she made a small donation to a charity supporting Ukraine. The U.S. Supreme Court has denied an emergency motion to postpone the retrial of Karen Reed. Reed is claiming double jeopardy over the state retrying her for second-degree murder in the 2022 death of her police officer boyfriend. Her first trial last year ended with a hung jury. Delta Airlines is now changing up its checked bag policies. The airline announcing this week bags now, checked bags, have to be dropped off at least 45 minutes before a domestic flight. The company says they don't anticipate that causing any major problems since most bags are checked in at least that far ahead of time anyway.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. If you are retiring or you're 64 turning 65 or you just have questions about Medicare, Medicaid, health insurance, all of that kind of stuff, and the transition from traditional maybe employer-based or private insurance over onto government insurance with Medicare, hey, Ricky Stewart, give her a call. She handles this all the time. She helps people just like you do this all the time. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one piece of it that she does. 341-2185. What supplement? What about prescription drugs? What about Advantage? And again, what about Medicaid? Does that apply to me? What is it? What is it? How? I mean, it's fine. It's normal. People don't know the difference between Medicaid and Medicare. I mean, you may, but many people don't. Well, call and ask. You know, she's a great source of information, and she's a sweetheart. You'll love her. Anyway, 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart. insurance. Let's see, what else do we have going on? Scott Yenar is out. He has resigned in what I would describe as a very passive-aggressive email about how great the reforms were he was going to bring, but, you know, without taking any responsibility for being a disruptive force at UWF and in our community. He is now out, sent his resignation to Martha Saunders, the president of UWF. We still have three people who are going to be getting their first hearing in the Senate today over whether they should be on the board of trustees, Gates Garcia, Paul Bailey, and Chris Young. More on that in just a second, because at least one of these is kind of a very interesting case.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to hear what gets said towards these three at UWF candidate. They're already on the board, which is also weird. And even if they don't get confirmed, they can still be. But Bailey is an adjunct professor at PCC. Which is, you know, kind of weird for a Christian college and then UWF to be overseeing it. It's just an odd situation.